I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She's 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little boy, Gabriel, is thriving because preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 babies by the end of the year, and they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Waldman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me on this Tuesday. So much happening, and so much happening fast. This is a rapidly changing world right before us. The Great Awakening, Third Great Awakening, perhaps. I don't even know if I could say beginning now. I think the seeds and some of the fruit we were already seeing, but the... I'm not going to say the Charlie Kirk assassination. I'm going to say the response to the Charlie Kirk assassination, the response of Erica, the Turning Point staff, the pastors, and the sister organizations, all of us that were close to Charlie. I think the response of believers to the assassination of Charlie is absolutely Holy Ghost gas on the revival fire. It is the gospel in full color for the largest audience, perhaps at once in history, in the most articulate, powerful way that I've ever seen it done. Kara and I, my wife and I, went to the memorial service on Sunday, and I'm going to talk more about this probably on Thursday than I do even today, because there's a couple of other things I got to get to it in addition to it. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you watched. Phone number is 888-589-8840. I'll tell you, for us, it was the most amazing event I've ever been to. I don't say that lightly. I mean, look, I've been to some of the biggest UFC fights. I've been to World Series games. I've seen Petra and Stryper, Def Leppard and Journey. I mean, I've been to some pretty amazing arena events. Amazing revival events, promise keepers, you know, just incredible fun things, and then incredible movements of God things. But this was a moment in history that I think we will look back on. I'm trying so hard not to be cliche and say that it was the turning point. I know everybody's saying that, but it was the inflection point. It was the focal point where you had, 100 million people minimum watching this thing that they know of for sure. And that was streams and everything else. It's probably more like a billion when you count people watching together and replays and everybody going in and watching later. it was, we now know, 277,000 people that descended upon that stadium. That based on the geocaching of I being able to ping that number of cell phones that came to that area that day, not normally there. Think about that. Almost 300,000 people. I think MLK, if I heard right, had 150,000. I think some, you know, major, you know, big names, largest 80,000, 100,000, nothing like this. And I don't even know where to start. We didn't, well, just make it a little personal. We didn't know if we were going to get in. We were kind of stuck in terms of our travel for the weekend. We couldn't get there on Saturday night to be able to get there early. We had, you know, obviously having, you know, been a partner of Charlie's and worked with Turning Point pretty closely for the last 5 years. You know, they sent us VIP passes and all that good stuff. But they said you got to be here in the arena or in the stadium by 8 a.m. and with the service starting at 11. They said if you're not here by 8, you won't get in. There won't be a seat for you. And our situation, without too much detail, I mean, we had, you know, we were in Boston Friday. We did a vigil for Charlie in our hometown on Thursday. So quick trip to Boston on Friday. Amazing, by the way. I had to take time on Friday while I was in Boston to run over to Old South Meeting House on the Freedom Trail, the place where Dr. Joseph Warren gave that speech that I shared with you last week on the program. And so I had to. I could not be in Boston. You know, that much on the heels of Charlie's assassination and those two paragraphs at the end of Dr. Warren's speech, which maybe I'll read those again today for those that weren't listening last week. I had to go stand in the spot where he gave that speech in March of 1775. And so I made a little video. It's on my social media. If you want to go to my Facebook account, Texas Rick Green, or Patriot Rick Green, sorry. It has an explanation of that whole speech and why Dr. Joseph Warren was giving that speech, how they killed him just a few weeks later at 34 years old, dug up his body, desecrated. I mean, the British hated him as much as the leftist and the communist hated Charlie Kirk. So we did Boston on Friday very quickly. We were only there for a few hours. And, you know, just every night, very little sleep, getting up for early flights to try to make this whole weekend work. And because we had another event in Indiana on Saturday that I was already committed to and needed to do. And frankly, with a wonderful organization that I'm good friends with. And I needed to be with some family at this point in history and time, meaning like people that are they're like family to us. These are the Convention Estates folks and their organization is called Citizens for Self-Governance. As you can imagine, that's my kind of people. And Mark Meckler, who runs it, is literally my brother from another mother. I mean, we're like twins. But anyway, so we were with them on Saturday and then and could not get to Phoenix until Sunday morning. So, I'd looked at every possible way to get there. And we just couldn't do it. Couldn't drive, couldn't fly. There was no way. Until literally landing at the Phoenix airport at 8:50 in the morning, 4-hour flight from Indianapolis, and landing at 8:50. And so, anyway, bottom line is we didn't think there was any way we were going to get in. I'll probably tell more of that just because it's interesting to some people on Thursday. But the point is, we ultimately did get in, and it was the most amazing worship service I've ever been a part of. It was the gospel message over and over and over again in powerful ways, without anybody being repetitive. Like it was not just part of what I've been trying to describe to people is it was not just the salvation message. It was not just, and certainly not the, what I think is a shallow salvation message where sometimes people say, you know, come to Jesus and your life will be easy. That's the opposite. it was deep. It was discipleship. It was give your life to Christ, devote your life to Christ, and then go live out his commandments. Start a family, raise children to honor God, forgive people that wrong you, just on and on and on. All of these things that are part of the gospel. Remember, the gospel is to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And it was on full display for 5 hours of the actual program, not to mention the 3 hours of worship beforehand. And for a lot of my friends and a lot of my Patriot Academy grads that were there, they got there at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. So they'd been there, 15 hours by the time but the whole thing was over. An event where the president and the vice president and, all the big names from his cabinet, and there were a bunch of them there that you don't even know were there because they didn't speak, but they were sitting right up front. Senators, congressmen, major ministry leaders, pastors, television and radio personalities. I mean, it was a who's who of certainly, the conservative side of the United States, and a joyful celebration. I'll talk a lot more about what happened that day. And I will tell you my favorite speech of the whole day was Mikey McCoy. My friend Rob McCoy, Pastor McCoy, has been a phenomenal guy for so many ministries and so many organizations, including Charlie Kirk. He's the one that really got Charlie speaking to pastors. It was Godspeak was the first church he spoke in, and Rob's the one that really coached him and mentored him, and Charlie called him his pastor. Rob's the one that introduced Charlie and me and put us together for doing biblical citizenship, and we put 1 million people through that thing in the last four and a half, 5 years. Rob, just fantastic guy, and I love Rob. And Seth Gruber, who was there, and all of these ministries that literally started out of Rob's church or got injected with some momentum through Rob's church. We filmed Biblical Citizenship at Rob's church. Rob opened the whole thing, shared the gospel, of course, and then his son, Mikey, later in the program, Mikey is, was Charlie's right-hand guy. I mean, he was the guy that traveled everywhere with Charlie, was always there. He was his right-hand guy, his body man. And Mikey knocked it out of the park. If I know everybody's saying go watch the whole thing, I know you don't have 5 hours. Maybe you don't have 5 hours, but go watch Mikey McCoy. So when there's like five of the staff from Turning Point that come out. I can't remember when it was. It wasn't right after Rob, but it was pretty soon after that. Watch that part. Watch Mikey standing there, he and his young bride, and it's one of the best speeches I've ever heard. So joyful, so moving, so raw. So genuine, and just a phenomenal job of honoring his friend and mentor, Charlie Kirk, and the ministry that is Turning Point. And I know that sounds weird to some people when I say ministry. It's kind of like saying ministry of Patriot Academy. Sometimes people don't understand how Patriot Academy is a ministry and how our teaching of the Constitution and biblical citizenship is all about discipleship. We're discipling believers on how to treat their neighbors well, how to treat their neighbors the way they want to be treated. And Turning Point's the exact same. I mean, that's what Charlie was doing every time he gave a speech, every time he answered a question on campus. He was discipling. He was giving biblical answers to life's challenges and to society's challenges. And so when I say it's a ministry, it is. It really is. And I think that was on display for the whole world on Sunday. What a beautiful, beautiful display of the gospel. And, of course, not even the cherry on top. I mean, the pivotal moment, the most pure example of miraculous, only as God could do it, gospel living, was Erica forgiving the murderer of her husband in front of the world. And I could tell you that whole place, we collectively, 100,000 people in that stadium and probably the other 100,000 at the other stadium and still sitting in the parking lot and everybody watching on their phones, and then the 100 million people around the world. But definitely right there where we were, down on the floor, fairly, not real close, but close enough, and feeling all of those people around us in that entire stadium. When she said that, there was a collective, wow, wow. We intellectually, theoretically, theologically knew that was what she needed to do and that she would probably do that at some point. But to have it, for her to do it then, and for us to feel the healing and the balming effect of forgiving our debtors. It was a moment I will never, ever, ever forget. I'm telling you, it was incredible. And, not a dry eye in the room. So anyway, if you've got thoughts on that, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Like I said, I'm going to talk more about it on Thursday, because a lot of what we got to talk about is, where do we go from here? Like, what do we do with this momentum, this harvest that is out there, and this wind that is at our back for these values? Because the display on Sunday of what happens when you follow God's word, when you live according to Christian principles, what does life look like? Right? That's what people were seeing. The family, the forgiveness, the joy, all of that. Versus going against God's ways, against the laws of nature, nature's God, and doing what the left is trying to do in America, the hate, the violence, all of that stuff. It was on display. And so people are listening. They're paying attention. They're hungry. And they're coming our direction. They want to be a part of that. They want that. That's what happens when you live out the gospel. People go, ooh, I want what you got. And so now, what do we do with that? So we will definitely talk more about that. And then several headlines. Obviously, President Trump at UN today. Got to talk about the announcement yesterday with Bobby Kennedy, and several other things in the news. So we'll get to all that when we come back, along with your phone calls, 888-589-8840. You're listening to At the Core.
Hey, my name is Wesley Wildman.
And I'm Walker Wildman.
And we're brothers, and our family have been leading tours to the land of the Bible for more than 30 years.
Coming up in March of 2026, we would love for you to join us for something very special, a Footsteps of Paul tour, a journey through Greece.
We'll walk exactly where the Apostle Paul walked, through Athens, ancient Corinth, Philippi, and Thessalonica.
You'll enjoy unforgettable experiences and meaningful fellowship with believers and with Wesley and Walker.
And we'll eat well, laugh a lot, and yes, eat well again. And most importantly, we will grow in our faith as the Bible comes alive before your eyes. You'll get to see the very things that we read about or that your pastor talks about in church.
The Footsteps of Paul Tour is March 17th through the 24th, 2026.
Register today at wildmangroup.com.
That's wildmangroup.com. We can't wait to see you there.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. We've been talking about, of course, the Charlie Kirk Memorial on Sunday and the amazing event that was, and what a wonderful, beautiful display of the gospel it was for the entire world. Going to have tsunami, not ripple, but tsunami-type effects, I believe, for years to come. And thank you, Lord, for it. I think revival is here, and I think we could be in the middle of or at the early stages of the Third Great Awakening. But it's going to, I tell you something we really have to keep in mind. We cannot make the mistake of the Jesus Revolution, where they had conversions and a lot of people walked the aisle or the beach or whatever, but there wasn't enough discipleship so that it did not end up impacting the culture. Look at California now, what a mess it is. In so many revivals over the last 100 years that you could point to where that kind of thing happened. And that's just a matter of us just not following through and doing actual discipleship, teaching people how to live and how to follow Christ's commands. So, all right, let's get to the headlines. Minor. I mean, it's a big deal, I guess. At least the left wants to make a big deal out of it. Jimmy Kimmel's, firing and rehiring or suspension or however they're going to, frame that and shake that whole thing out. Couple of thoughts on this that I think are important. Number one, he was not suspended because of the FCC. So the FCC definitely, while I think there should be no involvement with the government in this kind of stuff at all, it is a licensed situation. So you are dealing with a broadcast license, And if you make statements that are blatantly false and blatantly dangerous in terms of your description of an assassin in that way, and you're saying that this guy is a, you know, when everybody knew at that point, he's definitely not a MAGA Republican, but the exact opposite, a leftist, you know, in love with another man that's transgender and probably has, you know, gone down that rabbit hole of crazy talk and crazy thinking, clearly based on the things that he has said. That is something that the FCC should say. That's a false statement. You can't do that. That's not, you don't have a broadcast license to go lie on television. So, you know, hey, ABC, keep your guys in check. That's okay. They didn't say you have to fire this guy. They just said, you know, you need to look closely at this and be reminded of your public interest obligations. But that is not why Jimmy Kimmel was initially, you know, suspended, I guess now is what they're going to say. Everybody was initially saying fired. They did that because they're reading the tea leaves. They knew this is an outpouring of support around the world for Charlie Kirk. And then you got this, you know, this guy, Jimmy Kimmel, who's a complete loser, as Donald Trump says. I totally agree with him on that. I mean, this is a guy that gets paid $16 million a year with less viewership than we have listeners to AFR. And it's absurd that this guy gets so much money and to be the jerk that he is on air all the time towards, you know, half the country or more than half the country, those of us who consider ourselves conservatives and constitutionalists. But this was just so over the top that they knew this is bad for business. This is going to make the situation even worse. And they were frankly looking for reasons to fire this guy because of his lousy ratings and the lousy job that he was doing. And so, and that's a free market thing. That is absolutely their right to fire him for saying something like that. And of course, the left went nuts and pushed back. And so they, you know, now apparently are going to put him back on the air. We'll see where it ends up. But I just wanted to make sure that I pointed out, I believe it would be very problematic for the government to be deciding who gets hired and fired based on opinions. There is a little bit of nuance in this situation because you're dealing with a public broadcasting license. And I mean, a broadcast license. And, you know, the egregiousness of the statements, but they did not, as far as I know, from what I can read and find out, it wasn't the FCC called and said, you have to fire this guy. The FCC basically said, hey, you need to watch out. This is dangerous rhetoric. And, so anyway, that's my thoughts on that. But definitely, I am not for the government being able to fire people for saying things that are even hateful. It's different when you're saying something that's not true. You don't have a First Amendment protection to lie about people. That's why we have slander and libel, you know, all of our defamation laws. The First Amendment is not absolute. You don't have the right to say anything you want. You don't have the right to lie about people. You don't have the right to incite violence. There are things that are not protected by the First Amendment. And now I would never call that hate speech. And that's not protected. I would say that's just unprotected speech. That's not constitutionally protected speech. The phrase hate speech is a catch-all for the left that basically means anything they disagree with. Anything that you say that they disagree with. Anything that you say that doesn't affirm and celebrate whatever their mentally ill decisions are, and I mean that in a scientific way, based on what all of science agreed upon up until 15 minutes ago, was a mental illness, that if you actually say those things and point out that it's a mental illness, that you think you're a cat and that you want to relieve yourself in kitty litter at school, and the school is going to cater to that and give you kitty litter to put in the bathroom at school, and you want to respond to your teachers with purring instead of speaking English, you have a mental illness. You have a problem that needs to be dealt with, and you know you should be seeing somebody for professional help and not us, you know, lying to you and saying, "Oh, that's perfectly normal. You just be you." That's one example of many, but that would be considered hate speech. What I just said would be considered hate speech by the left, by Democrats in Congress, by frankly the entire Democrat Party at this point. Because I'm actually speaking truth and stating scientific facts, it doesn't agree with their craziness, and so they they would say I should be canceled off the air and not allowed to have a platform. So that's why you can't do the Pam Bondi thing and say we're going to go after people based on hate speech. It has to be that someone is using that they're proclaiming unprotected speech. They're lying. They're slandering. They're you know inciting violence. Whatever. That's where I think the government does have the right to step in. Well, with the inciting violence, government has the right to step in no matter what your platform is. But if you're slandering, then it would just depend whether or not you're using a license that that you know the government regulates, which different subject. I don't think government should regulate it, but I realize you have a limitation on some of these things. So let's not go down that rabbit hole. Okay, two other headlines, and then we'll get to the phones. The you know the president is at the UN today. I love the clip that we played at the break, or I'm sorry, between the programs, where Trump said, you know, the UN is supposed to be stopping invasions, not facilitating and funding them. That right there. I mean, the guy is a master at simplifying these issues and making it very clear who the good guys and the bad guys are. Clearly, the UN has become the bad guys. They are, in fact, facilitating the invasion of the Western world. And it is going to have a massive negative impact. Not only do we already see it in Europe big time, but now we're seeing it in the United States. And so I appreciate President Trump's remarks on that for sure. One other headline, of course, yesterday, President Trump and RFK had their press conference. And he mentioned this at the ceremony, actually, on Sunday. See, he said, tomorrow we're going to be announcing that we think we have, not with 100% certainty, but with pretty good scientific accuracy, determined one of the root causes of autism. And folks, I got to tell you, this is also a watershed moment. This is to have them stand there yesterday and make the statements that I made 25 years ago on the House floor in the Texas legislature and was absolutely lambasted for, ended up losing re-election over it, was nice. It was nice to hear that from our own government. And more importantly, it will save lives. It will save lives. Not only people not getting autism, but people not dying as a result of injecting the human body at a young age with this ridiculous amount of foreign substances and without any study, not a single one, for what the impact is when you do all those doses together. And so the president was very firm about this yesterday. I was surprised. I was really surprised. And, of course, RFK, as always, was very, very meticulous in his details. All right. So let's see. It looks like we're getting some breaking news that the guy that attempted to assassinate President Trump, Ryan Ruth, now guilty of all charges. So that, I'm assuming, I wonder if that is a, if that is, if in that state attempted murder would allow for the death penalty. I'm going to guess no off the top of my head that it probably, you have to have actual murder in that, but we'll see. You're talking about an attempted assassination of the president of the United States, so wow. Guilty on all charges. Okay, so see what happens from there. All right, let's go to the phone. Seems like there was one other headline I wanted to try to hit before we went to the phone, but okay, producer extraordinaire Bobby says Mohsen get his life in prison. Well, hopefully they get the rest of their life in prison for sure. Okay, how about Texas? Let's start with Texas. Linda in Texas. Sorry for making you wait so long there. Thank you for staying with me. Go ahead, you're up first.
No, thank you very much, and I want to tell you, I put a note down reminding myself at the core because I recommend this to people.
Oh, thank you.
But what I called to say, I'm a lady who just doesn't feel there's anything like this coincidence. And so the day that this happened, I was in 1 John 3, and I want to read verse 16. This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And I went, oh, my goodness. Mm. And I wrote his name down, and then I wrote Stephen the martyr.
Yeah.
And I just, and if you think back, what does John 3:16 say? He laid down, I mean, he loved the world so much, he laid down his life for his friends. And I just had to share that. I thought that was just something, the very day that this happened, that I would be in this scripture.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's beautiful, Linda. And it's so true. I mean, no greater love. And it's you know, Stephen is the perfect example too. So similar, you know, a young guy. Stephen was, you know, scholars say 30, 31 to 37 or 8 years old, probably. They don't know exactly for sure, but definitely in the same range as Charlie Kirk. He was doing, you know, the same thing. He was speaking truth, and to an audience that disagreed with him, and with joy, even as they, you know, stoned him to death, and the gnashing of teeth, and we saw the gnashing of teeth even that afternoon in Congress by the Democrats as Lauren Boebert asked for prayer for Charlie Kirk when we didn't know whether or not he had actually died. He had already passed away. We didn't know that at the time. We were actually live on social media with our whole Patriot Academy campus and people around the world praying for Charlie. And anyway, she asked for prayer in Congress. They were doing a moment of silence, and she asked that there be actual prayer because they didn't know yet if he was alive or dead. And the Democrats started yelling no, and literally gnashing their teeth. That's what was happening, just like they did with Stephen. So disgusting, of course, but it's what we know is expected from those who hate the light. Even Elon Musk got it right. They took out Charlie because he was shining light and dispelling the darkness, and the darkness definitely does not like the light. I do want to say this before I go to our next caller. The tour that Charlie Kirk was doing on these campuses around the country continues, of course. There was no way Turning Point was going to back down. I think Turning Point will be 10 times the size and influence that it was. And I think Erica's going to do fantastic as the CEO. But they're doing this tour, or continuing this tour, and last night did so with Michael Knowles, a friend of mine from Daily Wire, great guy, phenomenal, brilliant guy. And they've got, you know, everybody from, man, Glenn Beck to Vivek Ramaswamy and all these other folks that are going to be filling in for Charlie. They're going to have an empty chair there that will symbolize the loss of Charlie. But they're not going to stop, not going to back down. And I'm so thankful for that. And that is not just a courage thing. Like, I mean, obviously every one of those people that steps up in that tent is putting their life on the line. But it is also just a commitment to continue the cause and to continue the fight for civil discourse and the ability to persuade and debate and have that interaction with people that you disagree with. So I'm thankful for all of these guys and gals that are going to step up and fill in. You know, I'll be honest, I felt for the first time in my life that tinge of awareness would be the right word. I don't even think it was a fear. Thursday night at the vigil we did for Charlie here in our home county, it was a packed house, probably 1,200 people out there. And right before I went on stage, it just hit me. It was like, wow, I'm scanning the rooftops. I'm like, you know, this could be it. I mean, if there's a concentrated effort out there and they're going to do what they say they're going to do, which is go down the list, who knows? You know, we've been getting called Nazis and fascists and empty graves and all kinds of death threats over the last 2 or 3 weeks. It started about a week before Charlie was assassinated. But they've literally been saying that about Patriot Academy. They're going to, you know, they want to basically put a wall around it, burn it down, kill everybody inside. I mean, you wouldn't believe the stuff we're getting. And so I'm standing there about to go up on stage, and it was just like this peace came over me. But I never felt like, hey, this could be it. This could happen. And if it does, praise God. I'll be with Jesus, and somebody else will step up to take my place, just like we're all stepping up to take Charlie's. And I don't know, it's weird, man. It was surreal, but it was, you could feel it. You knew what was in the air. And so all those folks that are going to be doing that for Charlie on those campuses, 100-fold of that. And so we need to be praying for them. We're going to take another break, and then we've got some other folks waiting for us as callers. We definitely want to hear their comments, and maybe we'll get to a few more of those headlines. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wappen and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. A couple of quick headlines. First of all, clarification on that event with Michael Knowles last night. I did not realize Michael was already scheduled. It's supposed to be he and Charlie Kirk together. He actually opened it saying this event was originally supposed to be a conversation between me and Charlie. Now it will be a conversation about Charlie. It will be a conversation about his life and what his assassination means for our country. So, wow, that's very interesting. That I didn't realize that. But, yeah, so the tour is going to include Megyn Kelly, Governor Youngkin, Senator Mike Lee, Alex Clark, Andy Biggs. Wow. A lot of people gonna be stepping up. All right. And then I had mentioned the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing. Well, it turns out Nexstar, this just was released just a few minutes ago while we were on the air. So Nexstar is like a big affiliate, ABC affiliate owner. They've got like 30 or 40 stations, something like that. And they were the first one, I think, to preempt Kimmel that then caused ABC to put a pause on the show. They are saying that they're still not going to air him. So that's interesting. They're going to still preempt Kimmel, saying his ill-timed and insensitive comments at a critical time in our national discourse. So the goes on. That's probably the last time I will ever talk about Kimmel, because I just don't even like giving him airtime and making him even more famous. But, okay, so this one, really interesting. One more headline, then we'll go to the phones. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. It can be about Charlie, the service on Sunday, any of these headlines, you know, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got. Okay, Tom Homan is saying that 2 million illegal immigrants have either been deported or left. He's saying they've deported 400,000 and another 1.6 million, roughly, close to 1.6, have left the country on their own. And of course, he's saying they're doing that because of what Homeland Security's been doing. And so, you know, for those 1.6, they basically decided I'd rather just go ahead and go home on my own rather than being arrested. And I think there's, I can't remember the number that they had during the voluntary phase that could, you know, keep you from basically it affecting your ability to come back legally. And so I don't know, but that's still too small a number, right? We've got, I mean, we had roughly 20 million come in 4 years, and so it's got to, they need to ramp it up, man. I know they're doing the best they can. They hired a ton of people and they're trying, but that's success. 2 million is definitely, that is a success, but it's a drop in the bucket of how many we need to deport. I was curious if anybody knows, call in and give me an answer. I was trying to figure out, you know, what is roughly the cost per year per illegal alien in the United States? What does it cost us for that illegal alien to stay in the U.S. instead of going, you know, back to whatever country they're from? And I think I've seen numbers as high as $20,000 a year in benefits that were given away. I don't know if that calculates the five-star hotels that the morons in New York put people up in that are illegals, but it's a lot. And so, you know, do the math. If whatever 20,000, or maybe it's only 10,000, that's the problem. I don't know the exact number. Whatever that number is, times 2 million, that's what is now being saved every year, let alone not even calculating the crime, not even calculating the change in the demographic structure of our country and the values of our country. Can't forget that. When you have 20 million people come into the nation with values not the same as Americans, and some of them are the same, so I'm not suggesting that all illegal aliens do not share our values, because there are some who come here because they want to be free, and they want to be in our value system, and they want to assimilate, and God bless them. Come legally, and we want you. But a lot of them are coming over here with Islamic values. A lot of them are coming over here with secular values. A lot of them are coming over here with ill intent towards our people and our nation. And so, you know, we can put a number, a financial number on what it cost us for them to be here. It's hard to quantify what it cost us as a nation to not deport all 20 million. All right, let's head back to the phones. Kay has called in from, Kansas, all the way from Kansas. Kay, how you doing? Thanks for calling in today. What's your comment, question, or insult today?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for your program and Patriot Academy. I do pray for Patriot Academy.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's so great what you're doing.
Thank you.
I just, real briefly, like you, it's hard to know where to start about the memorial service on Sunday. I'm not going to talk very much about it to get through it, but I just, you know, was weeping, praying, praising God through that. It was, I think just glorifying to God.
It was.
You know, most of what was said, really. But I also wanted to mention, you know, how the element of forgiveness, the command for forgiveness for our enemies, that is really important. And Erica did bring that out. I'm so thankful that she is able to do that. And we all, for all of us, we've got to do that. I think, you know, with the assassin Tyler, him, and to pray that someone would reach him for Christ. Justice is absolutely necessary. The Bible is clear on that. A
sure.
life for a life. That has to happen. So, you know, capital punishment, I'm not saying no capital punishment. When we forgive, though, and share the gospel, there still has to be the biblical consequence. And I think for his family, I think we have to pray for his family, too, because as I understand, I don't know much about them, but that at least the father, I think, and probably the mother, too, were Trump supporters. They were conservatives, and the hurt and the grief that they, I can't imagine it.
Oh, it's unimaginable.
And so
we've
got to pray for them, and hopefully people are reaching out to them, and chaplains that are biblical chaplains are reaching out to Tyler in prison there. And I just want to say a few quick thoughts real briefly about where Christians need to go, because the words in Scripture, Matthew 28, go ye therefore, go. And we, like Charlie, we've got to go. And we've got to get out to the calling where God has called us to. God wants justice and righteousness. And we need, like what you're doing with Patriot Academy, I see that we need Christian men in government. Primarily, I'm not against women in government, but we need primarily Christian men leading, like John Adams had talked about. You know, our Constitution is meant for only moral and Christian people. Well, that implies the leaders. People that aren't Christians cannot lead in, you know, Christian constitutional laws, and we've got to have, that's one of my earnest prayers, we've got to have people running for government in all areas, every area, that are Christian, and particularly men, and we have got to reform our churches.
Oh, I agree with all of that, Kay, and I think you said it exactly right on every single one of those points. I mean, there's no doubt it's you know, the miracle of Erica being able to forgive publicly like that at that moment was just so powerful. And it doesn't, as you said, it doesn't change the justice factor. That's why I think her interview with the New York Times was so spot on, too, where she said, you know, that she is leaving to government because that's the proper role of government. The government does not bear the sword in vain, and it is the government's job to punish an evildoer like that. That doesn't change. You know, I remember Carla Faye Tucker, an axe murderer in Texas, who came to the Lord in prison and became a wonderful witness for the Lord in prison. And George W. Bush was governor and had, you know, had to decide whether or not to commute her sentence or pardon her or any of that. And he, I knew W. when he was governor. I was in the House, and I had some friends that were there with him that night, you know, as he prayed and struggled with that decision. It was a really tough decision. And he said, he said, I'm thrilled that she's a Christian. I love the fact that she's a witness for the Lord. And some people want me to pardon her or commute her sentence for so that she can continue to be a witness. But the consequences of our earthly actions, while we can be forgiven and obviously have atonement for that only Christ can give, so that we still enjoy heaven with Him, doesn't change the earthly consequence. And it would be bad policy as a nation to say, if you come to the Lord, then all of a sudden you don't get the punishment for your crimes you committed before you came to the Lord. And so, yeah, that this is not the first time that has happened. But I totally agree that we should be praying for he and his family. And oh my goodness, I totally agree with you there, Kay. The unimaginable pain that his parents and his siblings have to be going through, and to for us to ever think, that would never happen with one of my kids. You can't possibly think that. Do you know how many people right now have kids who have bought into all this leftism and completely turned away from the values upon which they were raised, not to the fault of the parents? You can do everything right. You can lay down your life for your kids, raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and there are some things that are outside your control. And in this kid's case, I mean, it only took a year of the leftism in college and then, going down the rabbit hole of these crazy online chat rooms where he was radicalized. And, I got to tell you, if you're thinking that would, if you're right now not feeling any mercy or grace for those parents, I just implore you to recognize, that it is an unimaginable pain to know that your child has committed a crime like that, and of course parents of all people that commit crimes, that heinous crimes, that tried to raise them, especially if they tried to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I don't know enough about this family to know whether or not that was the case, but there's too many situations that I am closely aware of. I remember Zig Ziglar teaching. He talked about the fact, think about it. Families that the parents did what you think is they did everything right, and the kid goes off the rails. And then parents who did not everything right, and maybe the opposite of that, and the kid has a very, very tough life, but comes to the Lord through only as the Lord could do it, and ends up being a great evangelist for the Lord or witness for the Lord. So anyway, I appreciate that, Kay. So many good points there that are well worth highlighting. Let's go over to Alabama. Might have time to get two more in, but for sure we'll get one more in. Leslie in Alabama, go ahead. You're up next.
Hi. I just have a comment about the revival that was in Asbury on the college campus.
Yeah.
They didn't leave the school. They prayed and prayed and prayed. And I just can't help but think that God knew what was going to happen on the 10th. He knew that prayer needed to be sent forth, and that possibly the two are connected, and I just would like to know your thoughts on that.
Well, there's no doubt that, even if they didn't know what to pray for, of course, we know that from Scripture that sometimes the Holy Spirit intervenes, and that we pray almost in, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you didn't know what to pray and you just literally groaned before the Lord, I think you're right. I think there has been an outpouring among the youth for months leading up to this on college campuses all over the country, in addition to Asbury and even, secular colleges in Ohio State and other places with a tremendous harvest and humility among the students. And I think it's all connected, because I think it's part of the spiritual warfare that we face. But man, that's part of why I said, it's like a Holy Ghost fire or Holy Ghost fuel on the fire, Holy Ghost gas on the fire of revival right now. I think we got to know this, that it's just like Charlie said, the morning, before he was assassinated, the day of the assassination, that morning he was on a show and he talked about, the guy asked him what his favorite quotes were. And he gave two. The first one, ironically, is from a book that I used to use to teach speed reading, believe it or not, Ogmandito's books, and The Greatest Salesman in the World. And it's "This Too Shall Pass." And Charlie explained, you know, no matter how good things are going, knowing this too shall pass, or how bad things are going, this too shall pass. It was so interesting. I mean, I've said that exact same thing to my kids, to my family, to my students. But then the second one was the fact that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, and knowing that God will use even something like this. And he's obviously doing that in a way that we never could have dreamed of, and not that we would have wanted it this way, but the fact that God is doing what he's doing right now, and that Charlie's life in just 31 years could have the impact that it had to you know, have that many people come out to honor him. Render honor unto whom honor is due, and it was absolutely due in this case. All right, folks, thanks for joining me today. I'll be back with you on Thursday. We'll talk a little bit more about the ceremony, and I'll share with you some of those thoughts. Appreciate you listening. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those